we'll just try to follow God today and do the best we can. All right. I want to say it's good to be here and it's good to be saved. And thank God for the good spirit that's here and the good worship, the good spirit of worship and adoration of our Lord. I think He's been honored in our song service today without a doubt. And we praise Him for doing that. I want to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 1. Hebrews chapter number 1, and when you find that, excuse me, if you'll stand with me for the reading of the Word of God this morning. Hebrews chapter number 1. The Bible said, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now that's ending there in the middle of a sentence, but it's closing out in a verse. And so I want to close my reading, scripture reading this morning right there. And let's pause to pray for just a minute if you would. Our Father, I want to thank You this morning for the good grace of God that's already been manifest here. Thank You for the good presence of the Holy Spirit who has magnified Jesus to us and testified to us of the good grace of God that's come. We thank You this morning, Lord, for Your Bible and the privilege to preach it. It's my desire now that You would loose Your servant and give great, wonderful liberty this morning and help me to preach this great truth about our great Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our High Priest, and our King. Touch me and help me. Open every heart, meet every need, save every lost sinner. And may Jesus' name be glorified, and may the people of God find great help in these scriptures today. And I'll thank You for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, I'll try not to bore you this morning. There are several things that I want to read that I've written down in your hearing today that I hope will be a blessing to you. I'm not necessarily introducing the book of Hebrews, but I do want to preach from these three verses this morning on this thought and get a hold of the thought now because it's the message. I want to preach for a little while on this thought, Jesus outshines them all. Jesus outshines them all. And He does outshine them all. And He outshines Buddha, and He outshines the Book of Mormon. He outshines them all. I'll guarantee you on that. He is the bright and the morning star, and there's no doubt He outshines them all. But by way of introduction, let me just simply say that the theme of the book of Hebrews, you need to understand the theme of this book if you're going to understand the book. And its theme is the super abounding excellence of Christianity over Judaism. Paul is here writing to a group of Jewish believers that had just come out of Judaism into what we call Christianity. And I believe that in John chapter number 2, I don't know if Miss Hall told you ladies this or not in Sunday school, but I believe in John chapter number 2, we have a great illustration of what I'm going to be trying to preach on for a little while this morning. If you know that that chapter, you know that it was there they had the marriage of Cana. And it was there that the wine for the feast had run out. And, of course, Mary spoke to the Lord about that and commanded the servants to do whatsoever Jesus commanded them to do. They took six jugs there, stone jugs, that had water in them, and they filled them up with water. Well, when they took a cup and brought it out of those water pots to the governor of the feast, they found out that the water had been turned into wine. And the governor of that feast called the bridegroom, and here's what he said. He said, most men at the beginning of a feast serve the good wine, and then they save the worst unto the last. But said, you've given the worst at the beginning and the best at the latter part of the feast. And then the Bible says, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that that miracle that Jesus did typifies the running out of the old wine and the beginning of the new wine. In other words, he's trying to tell those Jews that Judaism is gone and Christianity is now coming on the scene. In other words, your old religion has run out and salvation has been handed down to the Jews. I want to say it'd be a blessed day when some of you sitting in this building choked your religion, when your old religion run out and you got born again by the good grace of God and got a taste of the new wine and the joy of the Holy Ghost and the power of God and the touch of grace that God Almighty has in store for you if you'll just let go of your religion and let God through the Holy Ghost work in your life to give you birth into the family of God. Amen. Now, that's right. I kind of feel like it now, Brother Jerry. Now, you got to realize that at the center of Christianity is Christ. You cannot have Christianity without Jesus. He's the very substance. He's the very hub of what Christianity is all about. Now, therefore, Paul's method now of developing this dominant theme is to show the immeasurable superiority of Christ over everybody that went before Him. You've got to understand that these Jews had come out of temple worship. They were holding on to the law of Moses. They said, Moses, we know that God spoke through Moses, but said, we don't know about God speaking to this man, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And what Paul is doing here is trying to tell these Jews that Jesus is the better way. But of all the types, all of the shadows of the Old Testament, He came to fulfill, and what they could only foreshadow and be a type of, Jesus was. Hallelujah to God. He's a simply said that Jesus outshines everything that's went on before. He outshines the tabernacle. He outshines the table of showbread. He outshines the altar. He outshines the brazen laver. He outshines the ark itself. Honey, He outshines the curtain. He has outshined them all. What it was, He is. He's better than the temple. He outshines the temple. While Jesus walked out into the temple one day, that bunch of Jews said, Master, see this great building we built? Jesus replied and said, I tell you what. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. Amen. What they didn't know, that a greater than Solomon had come on the scene, buddy. Amen. Solomon built a temple, but there is a temple of God come on the scene that outshines anything Solomon could ever put together. All of its gold and ivory. All of its beauty. But I'm telling you, there's one, brother, that had come on the scene that was much more luxurious and glorious, much more beautiful than anything the temple could ever be. To that bunch of Jews, it was just a tabernacle of clay. But to you and I that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, He's the express image of God. Amen. Thank God in the flesh. Hallelujah. That's right. I'm a trying to, Brother Jay. Hallelujah. Keep in mind now that these early Jews that followed Christ did so by paying a supreme price. I want to say to you, there is a supreme price to pay for following Him today. Amen. There was a day in America when it was a prominent thing to follow Jesus. Oh, yes. I mean, it was the end thing, buddy, to be a member of the first church. And to sit on the pew and listen to Dr. Doolittle expound his little sermonette every Sunday morning. and said it was just the thing to be called a quote unquote Christian. But I'm telling you, back in those days, to be called a Christian, a follower of Christ, meant that those Jews were expelled from the synagogue. They were deprived of the altar. They were deprived of the sacrifice. If you please, they were driven from the house of God and had no place to worship Him. And I'm going to tell you, that's all right too. Because He said the day's coming when I'll seek those to worship Me in spirit and in truth. You won't come to this place, what He told that Samaritan woman, to worship God. You're going to have to worship Me in spirit and in truth. But they had a price to pay. And I'm telling you, church, in 1997, there's a price to be paid if you're going to serve God. Tell me what in your life He don't outshine. I wish I knew that little song I'd sing it. Something about on the hills of glory. I've got a mansion on the hills of glory. Something, but Jesus outshines them all. Heaven supernal, castle something eternal. But Jesus will outshine them all. And buddy, He does. Amen. What in this life do you have, honey, that's got more glitter to it than the Son of God? Amen. When old Isaiah saw Him, he said, I saw the Lord high lifted up, and the glory, amen, filled the temple. And it was so glorious that the posts of the temple shook in their sockets of the very presence of the Son of God. He outshines them all. Somebody said, I like gold. He made it. Somebody said, I like diamonds and jewelry. He made them. He outshines them. Somebody said, I like the world. Hey, He created the world, and by Him, He upholds all things with the word of His power. I'm telling you, He outshines them all. He outshines them all. That's right. You got to remember now that these people were deprived of their worship, the altar, the temple. There's a price to pay. And Paul is writing this epistle to encourage them, to enlighten them in truth, to strengthen their faith, and to enlighten their understanding, to give them a fuller explanation of the Christ of the Old Testament is now Jesus of the New Testament. He's trying to get them to see that Christ of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. That Jehovah of days gone by is Jesus of the days now. He's trying to get them to understand that the tabernacle in the wilderness is gone, but Jesus is the tabernacle. That the temple is gone, but Jesus is the temple. He outshines them all. Hallelujah to God. Amen. He outshines them all. Look here. In order to do that, He had to explain to them what they had received in Christianity over what they had in Judaism in the Old Testament. Now, I don't have time to preach these. We'd be here till next month. But I want to run them by you. This is all in the book of this book, by the way, in the book of Hebrews. And I don't have time to preach them. But in verse 1, chapter 1 and verse 4, you don't have to turn to all of them. You won't have time now. I'm going to just mention them. If you want to write down a scripture, write it down. But in chapter 1 and verse 4, he says, Paul says that Jesus is better than the angels. In chapter 7 and verse number 19, he assures them that they now have a better hope. In chapter 7, verse number 22, he tells them they have a better testament. Church, I'm not downgrading the Old Testament scriptures, but hallelujah to God. The Old Testament without the New Testament was fragmentary and would not have been complete. In fact, it would not have revealed all that we need today. But in the Old Testament, the New Testament is enfolded. And then the New Testament, the Old Testament is unfolded. And what Brother Paul has said about that testament, he said it's better because it provides a better way. Hallelujah to God. That was through the new covenant. That grace was established. Thank God for the grace of God. Somebody said, Brother Hall, can you prove that? Oh, yes. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth and by Jesus Christ. I tell you, we've got a better testament. Man. Chapter 9, verse 23. He said, you got a better sacrifice. Woo! No more bulls and goats. No more worldly lambs. The Lamb of God. Son, when he walked out on the banks of the Jordan River, old John the Baptist told those Jews that day, said, "Behold the Lamb of God. There's your sacrifice that's going to take away the sin of the world." I'm telling you, Paul's trying to get them to understand that they've got a better sacrifice. They don't need the old altar. They don't need rams and goats. Jesus, having obtained eternal redemption for us, when He entered in one time with His blood and there on the mercy seat, won the victory. Amen. He outshines them all. Talks about... Hallelujah to God. I'm getting old. I'm out of breath. Amen. Chapter 10, verse number 34. Paul talks about a better substance. Chapter 11, verse 16. He talks about a better country. He's saying Jesus outshines them all. Chapter 11, verse number 34. Talks about a better resurrection. I don't have time to go into that. But the Old Testament saints come out of the grave after His resurrection. He is the first fruits of it. But I'm telling you, them without us was not going to be made perfect. Amen. That's why we got a better resurrection. Honey, when we come out, woo! Look out! Katie, bar the door, son. Amen. Death's going to give way. Life stepping in. Immortality will have to give way to life. Amen. I mean, mortality have to give away to life, and immortality and death will be swallowed up in life. Oh yes, we got a much better resurrection. Yes. Jesus outshines them all. Amen. Now, just hang on now. I'll get to my message. I'm in the introduction. Just hang on for a minute, okay? Now I'll try to preach it to you. If you read chapter 1, verse 4 through chapter 2 and verse number 18, you'll find out that Jesus outshines the angels. Hallelujah to God. He was far brighter than the angels. Chapter 3 and verses 1 through 19, you'll find that He outshines Moses. Chapter number 4, verses 1 through 13, you'll find that Jesus outshines Joshua. Chapter 5, verse number 14 through chapter 7, verse 18, you'll find that He outshines Aaron. Chapter 7, verse 19 through 39, you'll find that He outshines Judaism. In chapter 11, verse 1 through 12, 3, you'll find that He outshines the Old Testament saints. And in chapter number 1, I'm a preaching on this morning, chapter 1 and verse 1 through 3, you'll find that He outshines the prophets. I'm telling you, yes, He outshines them all. I want to just rear back for a minute. If God will let me say, thank God that Jesus was manifest in the flesh, seen of angels. Hallelujah to God. Oh, yes, and caught up to glory for the sins of mankind. He prayed the dead. He outshines them all. That's right. That's right. He outshines the prophets. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I want everybody to look right up here at me. You can sit and sleep like an infidel if you want to. But I'm telling you something, friend, that the greatest need in Baptist churches today is for people to realize how glorious the person of Christ is. That's right. Honey, we've hobnobbed around and heard people talk, preachers talk about long hair and pants and skirts and television and Hollywood and all that stuff. And I'm telling you, that's got to be preached. I know it does. But honey, I'm telling you, Jesus outshines them all. Hey, that's right. I'm going to tell you what's lacking in our Baptist churches. It's preachers and people alike that make more, that make us need to make more out of the Son of God for who He is. Amen. I want to brag on Him. I want to bless His wonderful name. I want to boast about Him. He outshines the prophets. Thank God for Moses. Thank God for Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. But honey, I'm telling you, Jesus outshines the prophets. Hallelujah to God. That's right. That's right. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. But verse 2 said, He hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Oh yes, I'm going to tell you what it's like. It's like that scripture, my friend, in Matthew 22, verses 33 through 46, when Jesus there said there was a householder that had a vineyard. He built a wine press and saw an tire and set it in the middle of it and lent it out to husbandmen and said he sent a servant, and they stoned that servant. And he sent another servant, and they stoned him and run him out of the vineyard. And he said, "Hail, reverence my son, I'll send my son." But when he sent his son into that vineyard, the men of that vineyard stoned him and killed him. Said, "There's the heir. Let's kill him and seize on the inheritance." And they killed the servant. I'm going to tell you, Jesus said, "Hey," said, "you're just like that crowd." Said, "You're exactly like that crowd." Them Pharisees didn't like that, boys. Huh? But I'm telling you, that's exactly what happened. God, in His mercy, in the Old Testament, sent a Moses with the law. He sent a Joshua to lead them over. He sent a Jeremiah and a Daniel and an Ezekiel. He sent an Isaiah and a Hosea, Habakkuk and Zephaniah and Malachi. He sent all the Old Testament prophets. But brother, they wouldn't hear Him. And finally, He sent His Son into the world who outshines them all. I'm telling you that Jesus far outshines all the Old Testament prophets. I'm going to tell you what they done. They stoned Him and killed Him. They hung Him on a cross and crucified the Prince of Glory. Amen. But He outshines them all. Amen. Somebody said, "Preacher, now I'm about to get to my message now. Don't want nobody to leave me now. I'm trying to make much of Jesus morning. Y'all sitting out there like a bunch of knots on logs. Some of you asleep, and I wouldn't even call myself a Christian if I couldn't come to church on Sunday morning and listen to the man of God preach." That's right. You're pitiful. You're pitiful. Amen. But said, "You don't understand how long I was up last night." Maybe you don't understand how long I was up. Amen. I'm not trying to be smart. It ain't no wonder, son, people come to the house of God empty and leave empty. Amen. I heard Brother Nolan preaching last night on the preacher's hour. I don't know when he preached that message, but he's preaching last night. He preached for about an hour and 25 minutes on repentance and turning from sin. He said, "Some of y'all are sleeping in the church." He said, "It's gotten so bad." He said, "You even are snoring." I'm going to tell you what I'm going to start doing. I'm going to start throwing song books at you. Amen. Have you ever expected to get anything from God? Fold your hands, rear back in the pew, sink down the seat. Next you'll be bringing an army caught in a pillar in here. Amen! Listen here. He outshines the prophets. They were sinful men, but Jesus was perfect. The Word of God came to them, but He was the Word of God. He possessed the Word. Amen. They come to bear witness of the light, but when Jesus came on the scene, He was the light of the world. I'm telling you, He outshines the prophets before Him. Now, I don't want anybody to lose me right here because I'm getting ready to get into my message. Just hang with me. That revelation, He outshines them. Notice in verse number 2, He outshines them in His revelation. Verses 1 and 2, in His revelation. That is what He revealed. What He revealed. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Now I'm just going to have to read this to you because I got it written down this way. He outshines the prophets in His revelation. Their prophecy was fragmentary. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It was not a complete, fulfilled revelation. Oh no. To start with, the church was a mystery to the Old Testament saints. It was revealed and made manifest in Paul through the revelation the Spirit of God gave him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Their prophecy was fragmentary. Though through the prophets, God gave predictions and foreshadowings, but in Christ was all the fulfillments and the substance. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Everything that they prophesied about was just a foreshadow or a prediction, but Jesus, when He came, He fulfilled it all right down to the very last jot and tittle of it. And get this. Get this now. He was God's finality in the gospel revelation. All she wrote. That's right. He was God's. He was the final spokesman on this earth for deity. That word there, when it says He spoke unto the Father in sundry times and divers manners, spake in time past by the prophets unto the Father, God spoke in various ways. He used visions. He used dreams. He used the theophanies. He used various ways to speak unto the fathers by the prophets. But that word "hath in these last days spoken unto us" literally means that He has spoken unto us in finality. There are no more revelations. I don't care what the charismatics and the Pentecostals say. Oh, I had a revelation. I seen it. I had a dream. Yeah, they've been eating sauerkraut and wieners, bless God, and Domino's pizza. I'm telling you, when Jesus Christ spoke, He spoke in finality. God spoke to Him and closed the canon of Scripture. There are no visions. There are no dreams. Somebody said, well, old brother so-and-so at Pastor so-and-so Pentecostal church said he had one. You tell him I said he's a liar. I don't care who he is, how he puts his britches on. He hath in these last days finality. He outshines them, buddy. Do you think God's going to send His Son into the world and let some goofball charismatic tell folks that He's had a deeper revelation from God? Amen! Oral Roberts. I saw a 900-foot statue of Jesus. Yes, sir? And I'm a billy goat sitting on the moon eating blue cheese and apples. Huh? I'm telling you, folks, we messed up today, buddy. It's been years ago. We was in revival meeting. I don't care if we're on there. The crowd ain't going to give us a dime no how. Years ago, we was in revival meeting. And myself and the preacher, Brother Don Ezell was here, and some of us, and we went to Shoney's to eat. Vestal Goodman was up there. Vestal and Hired. And the crowd they was a preaching to down here before they become the Victory Church where they're at. Amen. And Vestal walked around that counter, that food bar, and she come right to the end. We were sitting right at the end of it. And she said, well, she said, I wrestled with God till 4 o'clock this morning about what to preach tonight. But said at 4 o'clock this morning, Jesus come and stood at the foot of my bed and told me what I ought to preach on tonight. I thought, my God, how stupid can anybody get? Hey, man, I know sometimes a man has to wrestle with God on what to preach. But I'm telling you, we don't have to wait for Jesus to come and stand at the foot of our bed. He hath in these last days spoken. I'm telling you, we've had the final revelation, buddy. Dressed, almighty God in the flesh, very God of very gods, deity of deities, has come to this earth and gave us the final gospel revelation to preach. Amen. That's a little of that righteous indignation now. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Amen. That's right. Finality. He outshines the prophets in His revelation. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what did He reveal? I'm glad you asked. Because I've just been itching for somebody to ask me that. Here's three things apiece that the prophets revealed, and three things that Jesus revealed. Are you ready now? The prophets revealed, number one, the law. Amen. Old Moses went up on Mount Sinai. Amen. And received the law from God. Brought her down on the tables of stone. Broke the tables, went up a second time, got them. But God gave him a whole lot more than the Ten Commandments. Right. Amen. If you'll read the law given in Deuteronomy. Amen. I'm talking about right on down from Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. All the ceremonial law, all of the covenant law, all of the moral law, all of the ceremonial law, every bit of it, God gave to Moses. That's good. Oh, somebody said, Brother Hall, then that's good. That's it. Oh, no. Oh, my God, no. Amen. There was yet another revelation to come. He hadn't spoken by His Son yet. Grace, the law was given to Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what about the law? I'm glad that He gave it. But it was only at schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Hallelujah to God. It was fragmentary. But when Jesus stepped out on the scene. Amen. Thank God for the law. When we can look at the law and say, hey, look at Jesus and say, hey, there's He whom the law and the prophets testified about. That law is all they could give, boys. Amen. And by the way, Jesus came to fulfill it. to the very jot and tittle.
Yeah.
He outshines them all. He outshines the prophets. All they had was the law. Amen. Now, I know what somebody's going to say when I give you this. But just hang on a minute and let me explain. The prophets, revelation was fragmentary. It wasn't complete. They prophesied and gave the law. Then they gave us light. They did give us light. But that light was simply to make known the requirements and claims and demands of God's holiness. That's all they gave enough light to. Oh, just to reveal, to make known God's requirements, claims, and demands of His holiness. Amen. That's right. He gave enough light to old Isaiah, didn't He, for Isaiah to know that he stood in the presence of a sinless God, pearly white, clean, righteous, altogether, while he himself was a man undead and a man of unclean lips. Oh, yes, He gave him enough light there. And then He gave him leadership. Somebody said, Brother Hall, well, wait a minute, let me finish this up. He gave him light to make known the requirements, claims, demands of His holiness. But He did that by His uncompromising judgment against sin and His dealing with evil. Amen. When God brought the waters of the flood in Noah's day, honey, He was just simply revealing the very holiness of Almighty God and His inability to look upon sin and to let sin reign. When God rained fire on Sodom and Gomorrah, it was His holiness that He was defending. Amen. And you mark her there. That bunch of Sodomites and queers in the country today. But it ain't coming another day. When God's holiness, amen, will demand His judgment against that Sodomite crowd, buddy. Bill Clinton right along with them. Amen. And then the prophets revealed the law and the light, but the prophets also revealed His leadership. Somebody said, what do you mean leadership, Brother Hall? I'm talking about the way to God through the tabernacle. They did. They did. Why do you think that Jesus, man, if we just ever stop and think, Jesus never said anything without a reason. If we'd ever just get a hold of John chapter 14, verse number 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know that bunch of Jews wasn't ignorant? Oh, no, sir. When Jesus said, I'm the way to God, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, they had enough sense to know that they had to go to the sacrifice, to the altar, to the brazen laver, on the inner court. They had to get by the table of showbread. They had to get by the candlestick. They had to get through the veil, back into the back where God was at. When Jesus told that crowd, hey, I am the way! He was given light, my friend, to light that had already been given by the prophets. Hallelujah. If you can get a hold of what I'm preaching, it'll help some of you.
Amen.
That's right. Now, what did Christ reveal? I'm preaching on, He outshined them all.
Amen.
Judaism is better, or Christianity, better than Judaism.
Amen.
Judaism lived under those Old Test economy, and all they had was the law, the light, and the leadership. But honey, I'm telling you, when Jesus hath in these last days,
yes,
spoken unto us by His Son.
Amen.
Somebody said, what did Jesus reveal? John 3:16.
Yes.
For God so loved the world,
yes,
that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Are y'all hearing me? Have you done turned me off and got your ears deaf? Oh yes. It would have been one thing to talk about the Christ of Calvary, but it was altogether another thing when the Christ of Calvary was made manifest to the world when He gave His life. And there was manifest the love of God toward fallen man. Hallelujah. Canon closed. Scriptures closed. God's love revealed, made manifest when the darling Son of God took that old rugged cross and laid it across His shoulder and started up Calvary's mountain. Amen. Over at the hospital yesterday, my daddy was telling me, he said, I hear that song. He said, I hear a song. And Mama said, Truman, what song? What are you talking about? He said, I don't hear it out there. He said, don't hear the song out there. He said, I hear the song in my ears.
And mom said, Truman, what song do you hear in your ears? And he said, don't have any teeth. He's like me. But with that little mouth sunk back in his head, he'd be raised that little hand up in the air. Brother Ricky began to sing, up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn. Woo, facing for sinners, death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Precious Redeemer, blessed Redeemer, sins now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, see him now, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Can you see the better revelation? All the Old Testament prophets could say, he's a coming! He's a coming! But when he come, old John turned around and said, yonder he is! Ah, there he is! That's he whom all the prophets talked about, there he is! And that love of God, Son, was revealed through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say to you that not only did he reveal his love, but he revealed his life. He said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Yes. All those Old Testament saints died in faith, not having received the promise. Yes. But I'm telling you, when Jesus came, that promise was secure, Brother Steve. Yes. Hallelujah to God. Somebody, hey, up until that point to die, they had to go to paradise. Amen. They had to go to paradise. That's why the rich man looked across the gulf of paradise and saw old Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. He was just on the other side of that great gulf. That's right. Amen. But when Jesus died, are y'all hearing me? Led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men, marched down through the corridors of paradise and preached the gospel to those captives that were there and led them out victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And from that day forward, thank God that 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 is in the Bible. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's right. Life, buddy. He revealed life. I've come that you might have life. And that you might have it more abundantly. Thank God. What a revelation. Well, the Old Testament prophets prophesied about it. They told the story about it. But Jesus brought it to pass. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, could he have done that? Sure he did. John chapter number 11. They said, hey, the man you love, your friend, has done died. Jesus said, don't worry about that. Said, he's not dead. Said, his death just for the glory of God. Amen. When he got down to Bethany, Martha came running out there and said, now look, or Mary came around there and said, look, Mary, Martha said, look here. Said, if you'd have been here, said, my brother had not died. And Jesus said, just believe and you'll see the glory of God. And she said, well, I know. Said, when Messiah cometh, said, whatsoever things God, you know, he'll be raised up at the last day. And Jesus looked that woman right square in the eyeball and said, I am the resurrection and the life. Yeah. Life looked her up square in the eyeballs. Yeah. I'm going to ask you something this morning. Let me ask you a question, boys. Let me ask you something. Have you ever looked life in the face? Amen. I'm asking you, are you saved?
Amen.
Have you ever looked life right square in the eyeballs?
Amen.
That young woman, buddy. Jesus looked her right in the eye and said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, or I'm the resurrection and life. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die, or he that liveth. Read it to me. But now I'm the resurrection and life. He that believeth in, well, under God's blue heaven.
Yeah.
My gosh. Little 25. I've quoted it 100 times.
He saith unto her, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead.
Though he were dead! Yet shall he live, and he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Then he looked her right in the eye and said, believest thou this?
Amen.
Amen.
What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that Christ, oh yeah, outshines the prophets for what they could only foreshadow. He was.
Yes.
They talked about life, but He was life.
Yes.
They talked about love, but He was love. They talked about light, but He was light.
Yes.
Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
And then I'll tell you, this is a good one. Christ not only revealed love and life, but He revealed likeness.
Amen.
He said, who being in the brightness of His glory,
yes,
and the express image of His person, and upholding in all things by the word of His power,
amen,
when He had by Him purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Son, He revealed the likeness of God. Amen. No man had ever seen God.
Amen.
No man had ever seen God. Peter, Philip said, show us the Father, and it suffices us. In other words, he said, let us see God.
Right.
Show us God. And Jesus said, hey, Philip, have I been so long with you?
Amen.
And yet you have not known me. When you have seen me, you have seen the Father, I'm telling
yes.
you. You know what that word means? It means that Jesus was the stamp. He was the signet. That's right. God in His Son, buddy, took heaven's stamp and brought it to earth and put God's stamp upon this earth and said, there's what I am. When you look at Him, you're looking at me. That's why Jesus that day said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life. No man shall pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them all is greater than all, and no man will pluck them out of my Father's hand. Then He turned around and said, I, my Father, am one. Oh, I'm telling you, church, what a revelation. When the heavens rolled back, oh yes, when the heavens rolled back and eternity parted and the darling Son of God, wrapped in human flesh, was conceived in the womb of a woman, born of a virgin in Bethlehem, grew 33 and a third years, lived a sinless life, climbed upon Calvary's cross, laid His life down, went to a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later, got up! Life!
Amen.
Leadership. He showed us God. But now if you can get a hold of this, boys, it'll revolutionize your Christianity. When He showed us God in the express image and the glory of God, not only did He show us God, but He showed us what we gonna be like.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Can you get a hold of that?
Everything.
Jesus said, ye are all God's.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Son of God.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. That's why those Old Testament saints could not be made perfect.
Right.
Without us. Oh, if you get a hold of that.
Yes.
Ooh, we get to heaven, the angels might say, there he comes. Wait a minute. No, here. No, whoa. Hey. Here he is. Wait a minute. There he is. Woo!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about perfection.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking about being perfect.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, somebody said, Brother Hall, we'll never be perfect. You a fool, sir. And I'm going to tell you what, you can be as perfect as you can be on this side. You can be perfect on this side in the eyes of God, never in the eyes of man, but in the eyes of God. Somebody said, I don't believe that, Brother Hall. Then you need to read your Bible, sir, madam. A few preachers scattered around all over the country need to read their Bibles, too. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's why they still hung up on long hair and pants and television sets, because they've never learned what it means to have their little bitty hearts conformed to the image of Christ. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. I want to be like Him.
Amen.
Somebody said, Brother Hall, what's that mean? I don't know. But I know it means to have death behind us and eternity in front of us.
Amen.
It means to be an eternal being. Can you get a hold of that? I said an eternal being. Amen. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and I give unto them E-T-E-R-N-A-L, eternal life. That's what it means to be made like God. Amen. Having no beginning or no ending. Somebody said, oh, I had a beginning. But when you cross that great divide, honey, and enter into eternity, there won't be no near beginning, won't be no near ending. I'm talking about being made like Him. And God lay down this old body down by the riverside. Hallelujah to God. Wrap myself in eternity. Oh, what life. Honey, I tell you, all the prophets went to the grave and their bodies are at rest there. But oh, Jesus went to the grave. Woo! His soul wasn't left in hell, Brother Jared, neither did his flesh. See no corruption. Amen, 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 amen. That's right. When he went to resurrect Lazarus, them women said, now wait a minute, Lord, said he's been there 4 days, said he stinks. Jesus said, what's odor to me? He laid there 3 days and didn't even turn a shade blue.
Right.
Amen. His flesh didn't even bruise. What's that big term? His already on the mercy seat. And the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I've given it to you for an atonement where you fell upon the altar. Oh God, he took his blood, put it on the altar. If you want to get to heaven in your old flesh and blood, forget it. You ain't going to get there. Flesh and blood ain't going to inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, no. But I'll drop this robe of flesh and rise to see the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air. Farewell! Farewell! Sweet hour of prayer. Hallelujah to God. Eternity. He outshines the prophets in his revelation. Can I say he outshines the prophets in his riches? He said in verse 2, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Can you get a hold of that? He outshines the prophets in his riches. Hey folks, though he were rich, yet he became poor for our sakes, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Look here what it said. He's made him heir of all things. That word heir suggests two things. Number one, dignity, and number two, dominion. He's heir of all things. And that dignity, look here. That word doesn't differ 15 cents from the word Lord. Paul said in Galatians, a servant, as long as a servant, differeth not from a son, though he be Lord of all. Oh, I wish Jack Hiles could get a hold of that. More dignity. I could go on over into the chapter, which of the angels? Which of the angels did God ever call my son? Which of the prophets? Did he ever make heir of all things? And by the way, church, hey, it's no wonder that the Son is he that is in line for the Father's riches. Woo! Dignity and dominion. He's Lord.
Yes.
Amen. Here's the catch to it. We can't be made joint lords, but we can be made joint heirs.
Yes.
Dominion. He made the worlds. Then I want to say that he outshines the prophets, not only his revelation and not only his riches, but he outshines them in his redemption. Verse number 3 in the last part of that, when he had by himself purged our sins, set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He purged our sins. Now he conquered sin. Now I want everybody to get this. Turn me up real loud, Jason. Not that loud, Jason. I want all you water dogs This is Brother Hall, test 1, 2, 3. This is Brother Hall speaking to all you water dogs out there and all you United Pentecostals that tell me that a man's got to be baptized to be saved. I want to say it one more time. Baptized! Somebody said, Brother Hall, you getting ready to put yourself in a pickle. Oh, no. Get what Paul said. When he had by himself cleansed our sins. Said he did it. He didn't purge them, punch the magistrate. When he had by himself cleansed our sins. Shut up! It's dead! It's finished! Salvation has been wrapped out! Redemption is ours! He didn't say, I redeemed you, now run along and let Jack Hiles baptize you. That's right. That's right. If it's so important, why'd Paul tell that Corinthian church, I'm glad that I didn't baptize none of you, but I did preach the gospel to you.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to tell you something. If it took baptism to save a man, he could not have by himself purged our sins. Oh, somebody say, yeah, but he was baptized for you. Then the idiots is even further off base than I thought they were. Because if he was baptized for us, we still don't need to be baptized.
Right.
Better get a hold of the Bible, folks. Do you please? When he had by himself purged them, that means they're gone. By the way, there wasn't no chair in the tabernacle. There wasn't no resting place for the Old Testament priests. But I've got news for you. Jesus had by himself purged our sins. Now he's left the cross now. He's went to the grave. He's been inside. He's left the grave sometime in those 3 days. He's went down into paradise, preached the gospel to the captives, come out of paradise, carried his blood to the mercy seat. Put his blood on the mercy seat, and now he's ascended back to heaven. Come here, Bingham. Sit down there, sir. For just a little while, we're going to pretend like Bingham's God. Jesus has purged our sins. They're gone. Now, if he purged them, no baptism. No works. Somebody said, oh yeah, we got to work. He purged them by himself. He don't need your help in purging sins. He's the sin purger. Now you ask me, son, what have you done? I have purged their sins by myself. Father, my work is complete.
Amen.
He sat down, folks.
Amen.
And there's only one time in Scripture since that we see him getting up when old Stephen was stoned. Come on, son. Come on, son. Now, I'm going to tell you something. He's still sitting there.
Yes!
But y'all bear with me a little bit today. Will you? I got a feeling he's like this.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
You just tell me when, Father.
Amen.
Whenever you want to get Gabriel to blow her, I'm ready. Hallelujah. You see, I can get up and go after him because I have by myself purged their sins.
Yes.
Oh, now the Old Testament prophets, all they could do is talk about them lambs and things, but I really done it. That's why my revelation and my redemption and my riches are so much better than theirs. They didn't any of them have this exalted position. The mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come to Jesus and said, "Hey, grant me a request." She said, "What is it?" He said, "My two sons may sit one on the right hand, one on the left hand in your kingdom." Jesus said, "Can they be baptized? The baptism I'm baptized with, drink the cup I drink with?" She said, "They can, Lord." He said, "Indeed they will be. But sit on my right hand, on my left hand, not given to me, but for the Father in whom He's prepared." And I'm going to say, and you know what He said? He said, "It's going to be hard to get anybody on my left hand." You know why? Because the Father's already over there. Bless the Father. God. "Son, what are you doing here?" "Well, I've just parked there sin." "Well, now, son, did anybody help you do it?" "Oh, no! Oh, no! Don't you think I'm carnival? It's like that old country western song. Do you need any help? Do you need any help?" Jesus said, "Oh, no, I can handle it just all by myself." Thank God. Sit down. "Son, what are you waiting on?" "Trumpet, Father." "I've only been up from here one time, and I've been sitting here now for 2,000 years. But I'm waiting on Gabriel." "Father, when you tell him to blow it, he'll blow it. And we ain't going home till you tell him to blow it. So you better tell him to blow it, Father." "Huh?
Blow it."
"Michael! Sound the trumpet!" "For I'm going back after those whom I have redeemed." "Well, son, what are you going back for?" "I'm going to receive them all unto myself, that where I am, there they may be all." I got to read this.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was thinking this morning about my daddy died. And I got to thinking about some of them that had died in the scripture. And I got to think about Jacob. Y'all bear with me a little bit. I'm just about half. I am just about elated this morning. He said there, let's just read it down here. He said, and he charged them, this is Jacob speaking, and said unto them, "I'm to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. And there," he said, "I buried Leah." He said, "The purchase of the field and of the cave that is therein was from the children of Heth." Now get this now. Listen now. "And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into his bed." He gathered up his feet into his bed and yielded up the ghost. This last statement in that chapter is what got me. "And was gathered unto his people." Can you get hold of that? He gathered up his feet, but God gathered him to his people. Church, listen to me. God's not the God of the dead. The God of the living. He said, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Hey, look here. Look here. What that's telling me is, that Sarah, Abraham, Isaac and Rebekah, and Leah was waiting over there on the other side for Jacob to be gathered unto them. What are you saying, Brother Hall? Time, Father? Go get them.
Come! Hither!
Yeah.
In the moment, the twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Amen. Amen.
And this old body that was sown in corruption shall be raised in incorruption. This body that was sown immortal shall be raised in immortality. Death swallowed up into life. And we that have been redeemed will be gathered to our people. Let me ask you something this morning. You've been saved. Jesus outshines them all, buddy. What they couldn't do, He done. What they talked about, He is. I start to say was, not was is.
Amen.
What they said, He's accomplished. What they predicted, He's fulfilled.
Yes, sir.
He shines, outshines the prophets. He outshines the angel. He outshines Moses and Aaron and Joshua and the Old Testament saints. He outshines Judaism. He outshines them all.
Yes, sir.
Right. Jesus does. Question is, this afternoon, are you saved?
Amen.
Does He stir your heart?
Yes.
Does He bless your soul and stir your heart and rejoice in you? To know that you've been redeemed by Him and Him alone. When He had by Himself.
Yes.
And look here. When Paul used that word, he said, when He had by Himself purged our O-U-R. Let's stand together.